Welcome to Linux Matters, a podcast featuring three experienced open source professionals as we discuss the impact Linux has on our daily lives. This is episode 32. I'm Mark, and in this episode, I'll be talking about Quick GUI.
Hello, I'm Martin, and I will be telling you about what's new in Quick MU.
Hello there, I'm Alan, and I'm going to talk about Quick Test.
A few episodes ago, I talked about a mini reboot with Quick MU, and I've been hard at work making it bigger, better, faster, stronger, and I thought I'd just run down some of the improvements.
Excellent. Do you want to give the tweet-sized version of what Quick MU is?
Sure.
For those who don't know.
So Quick MU is a wrapper around QMU, the hypervisor. And it makes it really easy to download and create virtual machines of just about every operating system. So you can quick get Windows 11, you can quick get macOS Catalina or newer versions, you can quick get Ubuntu and 100 other Linux distributions and BSDs. So it's a really fast way to get a VM up and running of your favorite operating system.
I agree. It's great. I use it quite a lot.
Yeah, as do I. An awful lot, actually, a lot more just recently. I finally got round to fixing an issue that was filed by friend of the show, Alex, over 2 years ago.
Oh, whoopsie.
And this has been a bit of fun, but it adds the ability to run QuickMU on macOS and also Asahi Linux.
Ooh.
Now, is this something to do with it actually running on Apple Silicon?
It's several things, but yes. That was the bit that I did last, as it happens. So I've got an old MacBook Pro Intel edition, and I started by trying to get QuickMU working on macOS on that machine, because I'd already got it working on x86 Linux, so I felt like these were fewer changes to sort of try and wrestle with all at once. And conveniently, some time ago, somebody did fork the project and make a bunch of changes in order to try and get it working on macOS. And while that wasn't the total solution, it gave me an insight into how the heck macOS works under the covers to do all of these sort of system introspection, and gave me a leg up to actually start that work.
So it's not just the case of launching QEMU on any machine, really. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I think you're burying the leads, like that QEMU does a whole bunch of stuff, like gets an SSH connection into the machine and allows you to share files. And there's a whole bunch of, like, it sets a nice resolution. There's a whole bunch of nice things that QuickEMU does over and above just using QEMU or libvirt or boxes or any of the others, right?
Yeah, I suppose its killer feature is that it introspects your system and then creates a virtual machine configuration based around the capabilities of your machine. So there's a lot of grubbing around it does, looking at your processor and your RAM and disks and graphics capabilities and all sorts of things like that in order to set things up in the most optimized way possible. And so all of that needed to be able to do the same thing on macOS that it can do on Linux.
macOS has a terminal, much like Linux does, right? Which I assume is Bash or something close to it. But were there, given that QuickEMU is written in Bash, were there issues with the actual code itself in terms of getting it running on macOS?
In as much that macOS ships Bash 3, yes.
Ah.
So you either have to use Homebrew or Nix in order to get yourself Bash 4.
Right.
And then there's some fun and games where macOS is based on BSD originally. So you get the BSD versions of grep, orc, sed, and all of those common utilities. So I had to do a whole bunch of portability work in order to make sure all of that stuff works reliably on Linux and BSD macOS, which was not fun.
But it's all done now. That stuff's now in the past. You've banked that, yeah, now, haven't you?
Yeah, that work is done and it does work. And I was very happy when on my Intel Mac, I was able to use QuickGet and QuickMU to run virtual machines. So the fun thing was then I decided, well, the proof of this really working is to run a VM of macOS on macOS. And that actually uncovered a whole can of worms where I needed to then fiddle around with how the hypervisor works in order to do the right thing. So that was another one of these little, you know, trips around compatibility and options different between different platforms and all the rest of it. But got all of that work done. And then thankfully, Alan had his Ubuntu Asahi laptop with him at work a few weeks ago. So I gave you the tip of Git and said, go on then, run that. And it fell over. So we had another round of, because this is Linux now, but it's Linux running on an ARM SoC. So that then was a whole round of, again, another bunch of sort of changes in the way that it has to adapt to how it inspects the, in particular, the CPU and the GPU on that platform in order to get all the right stuff to set the environment up correctly.
Yeah, it's weird how on Linux you have a whole bunch of places that you expect to find information like proc CPU info and wherever. Mm. And that's in different places on an ARM system. And
right.
The things are named differently. And so you have to cater for stuff that you didn't cater for previously, right?
Or even on macOS, on Intel, there's a whole bunch of APIs and they return useful things. And then those APIs do precisely nothing on Apple Silicon. And it was like, oh, okay. Well, this isn't helpful. So there's a whole bunch of sort of weird, you know, isms. And I've heard people say, oh, you know, developing for macOS at sort of, you know, the plumbing level is hard and miserable. And I wouldn't say it was miserable, but it is frustrating. There's no sort of consistency.
Are there many more case statements and if statements in QuickEMU now than there were before?
Many, many more. Yes. Yes. And so once I'd got all of that working, I then went the other way, which was to then improve the macOS guest support, because now I've learned a whole bunch of macOS internals. So I realized then that actually running a virtual machine of macOS on Linux, it wasn't as good as it could have been. So with the help of some people in the community, made a bunch of other changes. So now the compatibility for running macOS guests is much improved, and also the performance is much better too. A small thing is that resolution setting now works on macOS and BSD. So this was a recent feature where you could say, I want to start my virtual machine with this resolution. That never worked on macOS. And again, as a result of fiddling around in the guts of macOS, I've got that going, and the same tricks work for BSD. So that was a win-win. And coming soon, it's in the works, is multi-architecture support. So it was kind of fun when on macOS, on Apple Silicon, if you request a virtual machine, it always gives you an Intel virtual machine, which was fine and actually interesting to get that working. But of course, if the goal is to give you the most optimized experience, what it should really do is get you an ARM64 virtual machine. So that work is in flight and will land very soon.
So eventually you'll be able to just basically run anything on anything.
Yeah.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. And along the way, I added a little utility called Quick Report, which is a way to capture useful hardware information to submit to the issue tracker when you have problems.
Nice.
Because there's a whole bunch of stuff I need to know now. So that also is ported to work on macOS and Asahi and all the rest of it. And then I landed a bunch of little features for this project called Quick Test.
Nice. More on that in a moment. Are you still finding it fun to work on QuickEMU?
I am, actually, yes. And all of this work on what is the legacy shell script version will be coming to a close soon. This was sort of proof of work that will go into, and much of it has gone into, the Rust implementation that will come out later in the year.
A while ago now, I wrote a little project originally called QuickEMU GUI, inventively, and is now called Quick GUI.
Ah, what does that do then?
So this is a desktop GUI for QuickEMU and Quick Get, written in Flutter. And the reason I wrote this is because, as we have heard, as we know, QuickEMU is a really powerful tool for automatically running VMs very easily. But the thing about the command line is it's very powerful, but it lacks discoverability. And what I really like about tools like VirtualBox is how they list all of your machines in a graphical interface and show you what state they're in and let you start and stop them and connect to them and so on. And I wanted something similar for QuickEMU, because while it's great, you can run your command and then you get your GUI pop-up connected to the VM and it runs, you might close that, leave the VM running in the background, and then want to connect back to it later. And if you've got several VMs, it can be hard to know what's running and what port you're connecting to which VM. So I wanted a way of being able to see that and be able to, you know, click a button and say, well, take me back into that VM.
Had you written any Flutter applications before this?
I had not. So this served a dual purpose of also letting me try out Flutter and getting to grips with it, seeing what I thought of it.
And how was that journey?
I found it quite good, basically. I quite like it as a way of building GUI apps. The thing it reminded me most of that I'd used before is QML, Qt Quick. It's a very declarative language, which lets you sort of jump into scripting where you need to, but stay out of it where you don't. One of the interesting bits about the fact that it's declarative is originally QuickGUI started off as two projects. So there's two parts to it. There's the downloading bit, which is basically the quick get GUI, and the managing bit, the quick MU GUI. And the downloading bit was actually written originally by Yannick Maury as quick GUI, and I wrote my bit as quick MU GUI. And then eventually we said, well, we're basically doing the same thing here. Why don't we do it as one project rather than two? And because of the declarative nature of Flutter, it meant that we could basically just take my screens and plug them into his application.
Oh, nice.
And then we had one application with two screens in it.
Do you have much maintenance to do when Martin futzes around with the QuickEMU and QuickGet codebase underneath?
I haven't done very much in a while, because it kind of got to the point where it does what I need it to do, and it's kept working. However, I have noticed some other people have been committing changes, one of whom is Martin himself. So I assume there have been a few tweaks required since I last did any major work on it. But because every time I open it and need to do something with it, it works, I haven't had to do any serious development on it in a while. Although I do notice that there's quite a few issues in the tracker and a few merge requests outstanding. So I have considered that it might be worth me going back and giving it some love.
That would be nice. I guess by the time our dear listener hears this, maybe you'll have had an opportunity to, I don't know, respond to some of those issues or something. Is it something that has fallen out of your head? Will you be able to dive back into, you know, how complicated is the code base? It's Dart and Flutter, right?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I think because it is like, you know, this thing is here on the screen and therefore it's there in the code, I think it will be pretty easy for me to join up the dots again. And other than that, a lot of it is just shelling out to the QEMU shell scripts and interpreting the output. So the hard logic is all taken care of by the external application.
The external application, you mean Martin?
So it has stood the test of time, because it was last built like 18 months ago or something, and it does just work. Now, part of that is that I've been mindful of not breaking like the integration pieces that exist, although it probably needs a bit of polish around the progress downloader. And I think one of the pull requests fixes like some changes to the way that Flutter works in the time that's elapsed and just updates it for like current generation Flutter. But there is going to be a change which will be beneficial to QuickGet and QuickGUI, which I'm going to make in the future. And at the moment, QuickGet, which everyone has on their machine, has the ability to build this matrices of 1,000 operating systems it can download. And that's, well, distributed, that's a support nightmare. So what I'm planning on doing is bringing that logic that builds that matrices of all of the supported downloads and putting that into a CI process that builds a new JSON payload every night. and quick get and quick GUI can then just consume a pre-built, ready-made configuration of this is everything that's supported.
That's nice. I like that. Then you won't have to keep publishing, like constantly publish new versions of quick get when a new distro or a new release of a new distro comes out.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I say, it's kind of been in, you know, works for me mode for a while. I haven't really needed any new features in it, but I suspect, yeah, now's probably the time to give it some love, especially with the transition to the new world of quick MU coming along. It would be nice if there's this keeps up with it. And yeah, I have noticed that issue you mentioned with the downloader. Also, when it starts up and does all of its poking around, it kind of looks like it's broken and nothing's happening. So it could do with something to show that it is actually loading and things are going on.
So we tried to mitigate that in Quick Get itself by making, that's the build all of the configuration stuff. So what Quick MU does is say, give me a big old list. And then Quick Get produces this JSON file, which was taking a couple of minutes. And I think it now takes about 15 seconds, but nevertheless, it's 15 seconds where you're looking at an app that doesn't seem to be responding to you. So that's why I want to move it out into CI, and then it can just be a URL request to say, go and get the latest list of supported OSs.
So if you have been using Quick GUI and you have, you know, I'm not saying that I'm going to have loads of time to spend on this, but I am saying that I'll at least try and go back and give it some polish. So if you do have particular thoughts or feelings about it, then please do drop us a line on the GitHub issue tracker.
Or if you're a Flutter developer, please do come and lend a hand.
Absolutely. Very welcome.
I too developed something with the word quick in the name, and it's called Quick Test. And I have to give you a short backstory. You may have heard recently that Microsoft have announced a thing called Recall, which takes screenshots, among other things, takes screenshots of Windows desktop and interrogates them and stashes that data somewhere. So some months ago, somebody made a similar thing for the Mac. There's a couple of them that do this, and they're called something like Recall, but not Recall. And they do a similar thing, but this is all before Microsoft ever did Recall, or before it was public that Recall existed. And I saw that pop up on Hacker News, and I thought, oh, I wonder if that could work on Linux. So I started building a thing on Linux, which could take screenshots of my desktop on a periodic basis and then try and extract text from that and put it in a database, but also take those screenshots and put them together into a video. And when you're running this thing, you would get a history building of the things you did that day. Now, I have since come to the idea that this is probably not a good idea for various reasons. But what I had built was a thing that took screenshots and could do optical character recognition on the screen and thus see stuff and read text off the screen. And I thought, huh, this is interesting. I could use this to make an automated testing tool for Ubuntu releases. And this was a little while ago when there was a new release coming, Ubuntu 24.04. So in my mind was the idea of doing testing of Ubuntu releases. And that's what got my idea of Quick Test, like, incubated. And so what Quick Test is I think we've used the word wrapper a couple of times on the show so far. It is the final wrapper around Quick MU. And so what it does is it launches a Quick MU instance. And if necessary, it will use Quick Get to download an ISO, and if it doesn't already have it, launch Quick MU. But then what it does is pretend to be a user. And it pretends to be a user by injecting key presses into the virtual machine and then taking screenshots and looking for text on the screen. So the easiest example of this is it boots up a Quick EMU virtual machine and then looks for the word grub on the screen, because that's one of the first things you'd see when you boot a Linux ISO. And so it takes a screenshot periodically, and once it sees the word grub, it presses enter. And by presses enter, what I mean is it injects the enter key press into the VM. And that makes the install process, the boot process, move on. It then looks for something else on the screen, like welcome to Ubuntu or some other piece of text. And it just does that by taking a screenshot and then doing OCR on the screen. And then when it sees the text on the screen, it then knows what to do next, which is tab down to another button, press enter. And then you can build a sequence of events that does a full install, just reading what's on the screen and pressing buttons. And that's literally all it does. Read the screen and press buttons.
This sounds a lot like something that I do at work with Moodle, which is there's a framework for PHP called Behat, which is an implementation of a common web application testing framework called Cucumber. And that lets you do this by automating a web browser, saying, click on this link, load the page. It's got a bit of an easier job than you, because when you load a web page, you've got all of the text in an HTML file, which you can then say, oh, does this page contain the word, you know, save in a button element? And can I click the save button on the page rather than having to OCR and then say, right, well, where in the image is that text, and try and click it? So I thought it was quite clever the way that you've managed to do this, given that you don't have this, you know, object model of the whole screen.
Yeah, it is just an image. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're downplaying things a little bit, because obviously you and I were talking about this, so I'm aware of the lengths that you went to, but also there was sort of an overriding design objective you had here, which is you didn't want to pollute the virtual machine in any way. So you do all of this without actually installing anything inside or instrumenting the VM in any way. This is all done from outside.
Yeah, I'll get to that. So it's implemented as a shell script, as all good things are. It's just a shell script. Actually, it's a bunch of shell scripts, but the main one, Quick Test itself, is just a shell script. And what I wanted to do was have multiple test scenarios, because if I'm looking at the Ubuntu release, there's multiple tests that happen. So for Ubuntu 24.04, someone has booted up the ISO and then just gone next, all the way through and used all the defaults. And at the end, if it reboots to a desktop, that's a successful test, right? It's not a super comprehensive test, but it is a successful test. Then there's another one that does the same thing, but ticks the box that says do full disk encryption. And that's a slightly different test. And so the screens are slightly different. And so there are slight variances to some of these tests. Some of them require me to inject additional key presses in, like the passphrase, or the screens might behave slightly differently, which they do. For example, if you want to do an install without a network cable plugged in, we can do that. We can switch off the network, as it were, in the VM. But the test fails because one of the dialog boxes on the installer is grayed out. And so when you tab, it skips over that one. And so the number of times you press tab is one less, one fewer, right? And so in order to build these tests, you kind of have to know what the installer does. But it is still just looking at the screen, looking for some text, pressing buttons. That's really all it's doing. It's not even mouse clicking. It's literally just injecting key presses into the VM.
So when QuickEMU runs, it uses a protocol called SPICE to connect to the VM and give you the display. Is that the same protocol that you're using to inject the key presses, or are you doing something else?
No. There's a thing called the QEMU monitor.
Okay.
And the QEMU monitor you can connect to using either Netcat or SoCat. And you connect on a particular port using a weird command line. Don't worry about that. But you can then inject key presses into QEMU, and it will just basically press those buttons. And so you can do key combinations like, you know, Alt Enter or something, or you can do Control Tab or Shift Tab. But you can also just press a series of buttons in a row, like typing in a password or typing in a username. So you can do all of that. And I've written Quick Test to have these reusable chunks to send a key press or send a key combo or send a whole word into the VM. So that when you're writing the test, you just say, put this word in or press this button, in order to make the test scripts that you create shorter, because it's a lot of reusable stuff already done.
Yeah, it's pretty cool actually seeing how Alan did this. So the QEMU monitor is basically a debug facility for QEMU. So you can do all sorts of things with it, including send key presses and also, you know, mouse movements and mouse presses and take screenshots and what have you. So when QuickTest runs, it can run entirely headless. There is a SPICE display, but it's not displayed anywhere, but it can still take the screenshots and do the OCR and know what's going on.
And so have you considered making it do things with the mouse as well?
I have considered that, yes. So there's two things here. One, you have to know where to click. And because the only thing I really have, and I know people are shouting at me right now, just use this OpenSUSE, open build or open test system or whatever it's called, OpenQA, or some other tool. I could do, but most of those are flawed from my objective viewpoint because they all require you to do something invasive to the VM. And my overriding principle was I don't want to have to install anything into the VM in order to do the testing. It should test like a human does. And what does a human do? Looks at the screen and presses buttons. Now, that's true for people without any accessibility needs, but people with accessibility needs don't look at the screen. They might use the screen reader, and I haven't figured out how to do that bit yet. But my point is that it should act like a human in that just pressing buttons navigates around and pressing other buttons fills in fields and all that kind of stuff. So that was my ultimate goal. And because I've got it working with the keyboard so far, I haven't actually needed to add mouse support yet. So it's not actually there. I haven't actually figured out the necessary bits to do that because I just haven't needed to, because all of the installs that I've done, they all have keyboard shortcuts to navigate. And so that's been good enough.
It's actually really interesting what you say there about the accessibility thing, because one of the things that we find when we're doing Behat testing is Behat is basically a user who can't see because it's all using the object model on in the browser to decide what's there and what isn't and what it can see and what it can't. It can't actually say, oh, that is definitely being displayed on the screen. You have to make sure that all of the stuff is in place in the page that it knows, oh, I'm going to click the button that says save. Well, is there another button that says save, which might be, it might be clicking instead, or, right, you know, does this link have enough context around it? So we've actually found that it's a useful way of checking, is your page also accessible to people who can't see?
That's one of the problems with the mouse, is I don't know where things are on the screen. All I know is a piece of text is on the screen, because what I'm using is a piece of software called Tesseract, because I don't know the structure of the screen. All I know is the word welcome to Ubuntu is on the screen somewhere, because I just look for that piece of text. I could do more. I could do some image analysis and use something like Python and OpenCV and stuff like that. But I wanted to keep the overhead for running this as low as possible, because my target audience for QuickTest is people who are testing ISOs. And so I just wanted them to grab a shell script and run it and not have to worry about, do I have the right version of Python? Do I have all these Python dependencies? And, you know, and I didn't want to have to worry about software packaging. I just wanted it to be a shell script that you could just grab and run. It's not finished. It's still a little bit rough around the edges. There's only a few tests there. And I think I need to do some rework on how the tests are written, because there's a lot of duplication and it's a little bit messy. So I need to have a think about that. Maybe by the time people listen to this, that'll be done. But I've already had a few people test it and had some great suggestions and issues. And if anyone else wants to try it out, it's in the same GitHub project as QuickEMU and QuickGUI in there as QuickTest.
One other thing I wanted to say about all this is I find it quite interesting that we never actually at any point all sat down in a room together and said, hey, we've got all of these projects we want to do. Let's build them around this one thing. These are all things that we, despite the fact that we talk to each other quite frequently,
yeah,
these are all things which we each made to scratch our own itch and have ended up being part of the same GitHub project.
Yeah. I mean, we do sometimes have ideas of let's develop a thing together, but actually independently, yeah, we've all developed the three wheels of a thing.
Yeah, I think QuickTest is the icing on the cake.
Oh, that's very kind.
When the 2404 release was coming round, the installer had changed. So all the manual testing that people were doing, all of those test scripts are now wrong. And so I think this is exactly the right time for QuickTest to make an appearance with a way to automate all of that legwork it would be far better for a computer to do that work and for people to spend their time doing something more productive, like just reviewing the outcomes of the tests. Because one of the things it does is it makes these videos and you can just watch the video back and see, like, does it,
yeah,
this is what happened. So success or fail, you've got useful evidence as to what the outcome was. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And something you alluded to earlier is the fact that because it can run in the background without a display, it could run in CI.
Right.
Mm. So these could just run as automated tests and you've just got a pass or fail, whether they work or not. Obviously, tests need to be maintained and kept up to date. And that's where why I've made it open source and it's all on GitHub. And if anyone wants to help me write tests, I'd love that.